Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for our message this morning is our epistle reading read earlier from Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to highlight verses 11 and 12 as we begin, where Paul prays for the saints in Colossae and says, "May you be strengthened with all power according to Christ's glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." This is our text. You know, there is so much to like about Thanksgiving Day. The inspirational background of the pilgrim history, the hymns that we all love to sing, the lavish spread of food, much more than we should really eat, shared with family or good friends. To say nothing about the opportunity that we have right now and throughout the day to give thanks to God for His countless, undeserved, and over-the-top blessings. But there is a danger connected to this holiday as well. That we might praise God with our words and appetites today, but then we just entirely brush Him off with our thoughts and actions tomorrow, and the day after that, and for the rest of the year. It's like the story of Craig and Vance, two men who ran into each other unexpectedly at the airport. Craig completely ignored Vance until Vance said, "Hey, Craig, it's me. Don't you recognize me?" "Of course I do," said Craig coldly. "So aren't you even going to say hello?" "Hello," said Craig indifferently. "Aren't you being just a bit ungrateful, Craig?" Vance asked. "Did you forget when you were so sick 2 years ago who it is that paid your doctor bills?" "You did." "And this summer," continued Vance, who saved you from drowning when you got that cramp out on the lake?" "You did," said Craig once more. "And now you just pass me by without even a word?" "Well, sure," said Craig. "I mean, what have you done for me in the past 3 months?" Now, I know that that example is a bit over the top, because I do seriously doubt that anyone here has ever been as blatantly ungrateful as Craig. But it does help to shine a light at the contradiction in every one of our lives. How one moment, perhaps it's right after a moment of crisis or on a day like today when someone or a holiday reminds us that we should be thankful, that we can seemingly then overflow with gratitude, but then so quickly return to an utter forgetful and self-absorbed life, entirely clueless as to how ungrateful we really are in our everyday lives, both toward God and toward those around us. As Christians, though, as God's redeemed children, that is, of course, not His desire for us in this life. In fact, He speaks to us here today about a continuous mindset of thanksgiving, about thanksgiving as a way of life. Or as St. Paul might have said it if he were with us today, the root and the fruit of thanksgiving. Now, I know it's fall, but think about the seeds that we sow in the spring. They will not produce healthy plants if the root is too shallow or diseased. And similarly, living our lives of thanksgiving will be weak and short-lived if the root is weak or maybe even missing. If we are thankful only once a year in a huge emotional spasm, but no more after that. No, the root of thanksgiving must go deep. According to Paul in verse 9 of our text, the real root of gratitude toward God is a matter of being, quote, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul says that that is his prayer for us. But what does it really mean? Well, he tells us that spiritual knowledge and understanding and wisdom are all linked together. As you and I grow in our knowledge of God by reading and hearing his word, and as we pay attention to his activity in history, in nature, and in our own personal lives, it's then that we comprehend him more fully. And as we become wiser, then we can't help but become more thankful toward God. You see, the greater our awareness of God is, the more it makes us appreciate his love for the world and us. That, my friends, is the thanksgiving root that nourishes the thanksgiving plant within our hearts and souls, that in turn produces the thanksgiving fruit. Now, I said that spiritual wisdom sees God's loving activity as he cares for and protects his people throughout history. So let's go back in history a bit. Consider the example of two very different ships that left distant shores on a pilgrimage. They left 100 years apart from each other. The first left the Caribbean island of Hispaniola in 1519, filled with soldiers. Their search was for wealth, fame, and fortune. They arrived on the Yucatan Peninsula in the southern part of Mexico. Their leader was Hernando Cortes. He claimed all of the land that he saw and captured all of its people in the name of the Queen of Spain and the Roman Catholic Church. And as Cortes marched then on to Mexico City, he left behind him a bloody trail of conquest. With just over 500 men, he conquered millions of Native Americans and enslaved them for centuries to follow. The other ship left England in 1620, and it landed at Plymouth in what is now Massachusetts. This vessel held Puritans who were fleeing from religious oppression, searching for a land where they could freely worship God. They were not soldiers, but families. They carried no swords, but Bibles instead. Their intent was not to gain land and wealth, but to establish a home where they could serve God as their hearts dictated. But what if God had permitted a hurricane, let's say, which is very common in the Gulf of Mexico, to blow Cortes and his men to the shores of what we now call the United States of America? What kind of freedom, what kind of thanksgiving would we be enjoying today, if any? Or consider another what if. What if things had gone differently in the Revolutionary War 150 years later? And the Brits actually won that war instead. Would our religious freedom be different? Would we all be a part of the Anglican Church, the established Church of England, and we would have the King or Queen of England as the supreme governor of our church? as it still is today. Not of our church, of the Church of England. Just wanted to clarify that. Few people know that our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, as Francis Scott Key wrote it during the Revolutionary War, has 4 full verses. And that final verse expresses a clear word of faith and gratitude toward God as the founding of our nation was played out. We've got it printed for you on the back of today's bulletin. That 4th verse says this: "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us as a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto: in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." When we possess true spiritual knowledge, then we know how truly dependent we are, as Francis Scott Key put in that verse, how truly dependent we are in this life. But because we live in what we celebrate as a free country, it's then easy for us to think that we are fully independent instead. And historically, our country has enjoyed national, physical, mental, and psychological security, leading us to conclude that we are pretty self-sufficient, or pretty self-sufficient people. And therefore, we really have no need for God. But the truth is, we are not nearly as independent today as those first pilgrims even were. They cut their own wood, they made their own candles, they cured their own meat, they raised their own food, they wove their own clothes. And even then, they still received help from the Native Americans at the start. And they were busy all day long, but what did they do? They made a priority of taking one full day to serve and praise and give thanks to the Lord for the Sabbath. Compared to that, though most of us today, we couldn't even survive, could we? Just think of what a national strike, for example, by farmers, police, fire, or transportation workers would do. Or an oil embargo, or a complete, I mean complete, shutdown of the military. We depend on so many other people and institutions, all coordinated, all provided by our God, in whom we ultimately all depend. And add to that the things that none of us can control, yet we would die without. Air to breathe, the atmosphere to keep the oxygen close to the earth and regulate the temperature for us, the sun for light, for warmth, and to grow our crops, the moon that controls the tides and keeps our ocean healthy because of it, soil, and this body, with all of its perfectly engineered systems working together. And the one thing that science still has no clue about, the actual beginning source of life itself, that comes only by the very breath of God. We are all dependent upon God, not only for these physical needs, but also, and much more importantly, for our spiritual needs. Because by nature, we are selfish, sinful human beings with no way to escape the punishment that we deserve. Without God, we have no peace of conscience, no assurance of a happy eternity. It is only because God still loves us enough to grant us his forgiveness through the death of Jesus as our substitute that we now have spiritual peace and security. His Spirit calls us to believe in that truth, that he works within us to keep us in that faith. And all of this knowledge and understanding, this is the deep root of thanksgiving. And yet, one more section of that root of thanksgiving, according to Paul, is the wisdom that shows us that simple knowledge and understanding, sometimes people call it book knowledge, is not enough. That's why God has given us his word revealed to us, proclaimed to us, to guide us in how to use and how to apply that knowledge of and understanding. For example, God leads us to see the reality that we are simply God's stewards, his caretakers of all that exists here in his creation. Paul then tells us how all of this works together for our benefit in verses 12 through 14, where he directs us to give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If you notice there, Paul describes the three different fruits that grow out of this deep root of thanksgiving that we just described. Fruits that we actually bear and share and enjoy today in our Christian lives. The first is that we share in the inheritance of the saints who are already basking in the light of the Father's heavenly glory. Yes, we continue to struggle here in this sin-corrupted life, but we are still all one even with them. And 1 Peter 2, verse 9 assures us that even now we Christians have the privilege to, quote, proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Second, verse 13 says that the Father has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That Son, Jesus, is our King, now and forever. Not the devil, not the world, not our sinful, rebellious selves. And third, verse 14, we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. In Jesus, you and I, my friends, are now right with God. Our relationship has been repaired. We are at peace with him in Jesus' blood. And he enables us then to live with thanksgiving, to lead a life, as verses 10 and 11 say, worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. Paul continues then in prayer, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. That's right. This thankful Christian life is the forgiven life, the God-pleasing life, the fruitful life, the serving life, the joyful life. Because it is rooted in Christ and it bears the spiritual fruit of gratitude and praise to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.